Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about why, if you own a business, it's time to burn the ships. And I'll be talking about lessons you can learn from The Lion King to find your business identity. I'll have the four must-know habits of highly effective people and why it's okay to use your content marketing for multiple purposes. I'll also have my thoughts on recent shootings in Texas and Ohio and why one doctor warns all towns have to prepare for these events. It's Thursday, August 8th, 2019, and I have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. The current check of the weather shows it's currently 70 degrees here in Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey. And today it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 87, a low of 62. For tomorrow, we're going to have continued sunshine, a high of 85 and low of 59. For Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 83 and a low of 59. Sunday, mostly sunny, a high of 82 and a low of 62. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano. This program is called Taking Care of Business, and for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 254.18 to 26,264.19. The NASDAQ up 132.26 to 7,995.09. S&P 500 is up 39.67 to 2,923.41. Oil up $1.65 to $52.74 per barrel. Gold down $10.80 to $1,508.80 an ounce. All right, well, welcome to the program, everybody. This is Taking Care of Business. It's Thursday. It's a little after noon o'clock, and that means only one thing. It's time for another edition of Taking Care of Business, where we talk about issues affecting businesses large and small, both here in Flemington and on the national scene as well. If you're listening, chances are you've got a web browser open. We're going to ask you to open one more and go to Facebook.com and like the page for this show, which is Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. And so like and follow that page. You'll get updates midweek on anything affecting business that I feel is something that may be beneficial to a small business owner, even a large business owner. We don't discriminate here for any reason. But, if there's something going on in the world of business, chances are I'll be posting it here first. That's time for the business quote of the week, which is brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. This can be anybody from a business person, sports celebrity, religious leader, any kind of actor, author. So today I've picked one from author Ayn Rand, who said, the question isn't who's going to let me, it's who's going to stop me. And I love that quote as it pertains to business. Who is in your way? Who's going to stop you and get in your way and be a kind of a destructive force in whether or not you and your business move forward? And I think that when you listen, I almost want everybody to put this on top of their computer monitor, that quote, and live it every day and make sure that, you have that fighting spirit within you to make sure that nobody will stop you. Again, her quote, the question isn't who's going to let me, it's who's going to stop me. And again, I love that, because there's a lot of times when we feel that outside pressures are telling us we can't do something. Sometimes it could be a boss, it could be a manager, a supervisor, it could be a spouse, could be the general climate of the economy. I wouldn't let anybody tell me that I can't do something. And when I work with the special needs kids that come into my business, I always tell them that they can do more than they think they can. And so many times they'll come in with a bit of a negative attitude, with an attitude of, I can't, I won't, I don't. And that's just because that's what they've been told their whole lives. I want to teach them something different. I can, I will, I'll try. And very often by the end of that term, we'll find that, you know, they have a different attitude towards work. So hopefully that can also be applied in your business as well. I want to talk for a minute, literally off the cuff, about the recent shootings that have been happening. Pick a town. You know, could be El Paso, Texas, could be Dayton, Ohio, could be Columbine, could be anywhere. But more and more, we're starting to see the rash of multiple mass casualty shootings happening across the country. And people wanting to know what can be done about it. Is it gun control legislation? Is it the president's fault? Whose fault is it? Is it the NRA's fault? And the fact of the matter is, I think it's short-sighted to blame the president of the United States because someone decides that they're going to go make a shooting in a Walmart. You can't blame the president. It doesn't go that far up. Thoughts and prayers aren't enough. You know, when I hear a politician, you know, or see them tweet, oh, our thoughts and prayers are with the people of El Paso. Stop. I don't want your thoughts and prayers. And neither do they. They want some form of action. What that action is, I'm not really sure. And I don't think they know either. I don't think anybody does. But if we break it down, I think we can look at a couple different things. Let's first tackle the mental health issue. Now, the shooter in Dayton, in school, in high school, had a kill list and had a rape list. Girls he was wanted to sexually assault and people that he wanted to kill. He was suspended on both occasions for that. Huge red flag. And that's a new term that's being used in the political circles. The red flag list, even in gun control and background checks, is the red flag list. But I think that it goes beyond that. And so if you have this kid who has said multiple times that he wants to do harm to others, how does he buy a gun? He had two girlfriends who have since been interviewed by NBC Nightly News, and both said he was very disturbed. The one girl said, and she dated him when she was 16, but she said he had these thoughts and tendencies, and he heard voices that were telling him to harm people. The last girlfriend, which he broke up with in May, or she broke up with him, said similar things. Why then aren't these people coming forward and saying, I'm concerned about Billy or whoever, and say, he's saying these things, I'm concerned, he bought a gun, I'm now even more concerned. And I just don't think we're doing enough in the mental health field or in the medical field to stop this. Now, there are 17 states in the United States, including New Jersey, that if a family member were to be concerned, the police will come in and they will take the guns out of the home. And they'll keep them until it is deemed that the person is no longer a threat to themselves or others. They're just going to hold on to them. It's not going to put you on any kind of watch list. It's not going to put you in any jeopardy of losing your property. It's just for safekeeping so that until the situation has been neutralized or has gotten better, then you can have the guns back. But so many times we hear, if he doesn't take his medication, he gets violent. You know, and I think that more people have to speak up. And for years after 9/11, when we had the "If you see something, say something" campaign, it helped. You got to see in action a backpack left in a train station where somebody would make that phone call, police would come in, perhaps bring in the bomb squad, and on a few occasions it's actually helped thwart a major disaster. But I don't think we're doing that enough on the mental health side. Lou Holtz, the legendary Notre Dame football coach, had a great quote when he said, "There's never a wrong time to do the right thing." And I think that we all need to start doing the right thing and speaking up. And if we are concerned about somebody, whether we bring it to their family first, or we bring it to the authorities, or we bring it to mental health professionals or a school counselor, can't we minimize the impact? Can't we break this down a little bit so that it doesn't happen as frequently? And we have to stop, in effect, in all types of media, glorifying the shooter. Seeing their picture on the screen, hearing their name over and over, describing the carnage, if there's somebody at home who's contemplating this and maybe wants to be famous for some reason, that may be what they're looking for. And the fame will only last as long as until the next shooting happens. But I think we have to stop glorifying them. There was a doctor in El Paso that handled the bulk of the victims at Del Sol Medical Center. His name is Dr. Stephen Flaherty. And he said something when interviewed last week that, or this weekend, that kind of stuck with me. And as I was watching it on the DVR, I actually backed it up to make sure that I heard him correctly. And he said, any town that thinks that this is an isolated incident and it won't happen here has got to rearrange their thinking into not only is it going to happen here, but when, and they have to start preparing for it. So this doctor is warning that no matter where you are, it's not a race thing. It's not about that it was targeting immigrants or anything else. This can happen anywhere at any time. And as we've seen in any location, we have to be prepared. In the emergency services field, we have to prepare. In the medical field, at the hospitals, we have to prepare. Ourselves, as individuals, there were innocent people shopping at a Walmart on a Saturday, and 22 of them are now dead as a result of just going out and shopping. I was at a Walmart last Thursday and in Florida, and it could have been me because it was such a soft target. Do we need metal detectors in schools? 100% yes. Do we have them in concert arenas and stadiums? Do we need to now put them in front of Walmarts and every other public gathering place? Something to think about, because this problem is always only going to continue. The numbers are going to climb. There have been over 200 mass casualty shootings this year, and we're still waiting for the next one. And it may slow down for a period of time, and then it comes back up. I think it's time that not only do politicians have to get involved, but it can't be solved in the halls of Congress. This has to be done with a major panel of experts, mental health experts, race experts, politicians, yes, because it's going to be affected, business leaders, school leaders. How can we protect our children? In my day, when we grew up, we were climbing under the desk because of the chance of a nuclear attack or a bomb. Now, 3- and 4-year-olds are learning to climb under the desk, block themselves with the desk because there could be an active shooter drill. How far have we come in 50 years that's the biggest fear right now? Not another country trying to attack us, but it being attacked from within. I saw something very disturbing on the news the other night where a woman who's a police officer in Delaware bought her niece a bulletproof backpack. That's where we've gone to. That's where we are in today's society. And until we get a handle on this, until we start allowing either teachers or officers to be armed and in the schools, even National Guardsmen, it's not going to stop. I've called for that for 2 or 3 years now on this program, and it's time that we start letting the National Guardsmen do some kind of service, get paid for it, but protect our schools. Have retired police officers or military, guard our schools. Make sure the doors are locked. Make sure anybody who wants to get into that school has to go through some kind of a protected bulletproof vestibule. Protect our kids. It's the number one thing we can do. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about why it's time to burn the boats in your business. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, it's all right, taking care of business and working overtime work.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington and the host of this program called Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Getting back into the program, I had posted earlier in the week, and I think I scared a lot of people, so I do apologize for that. But I posted a saying that said, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to burn the boats. And the reason that I posted that, and there were a lot of people that were just very confused, and you know, fellow store owners like, I'll bite, what's that mean? Well, let me get into the story. And the prompting for this was, I've been talking with a lot of businesses lately that are stuck, and they don't know, you know, when you try to introduce a new process or a new program into your business, and you get resistance and pushback from the employees, or the employer isn't 100% all in, they kind of fall back into their old ways and nothing changes. Sales don't climb, marketing doesn't change. So how do we do that? And I told them, you have to burn the boats. And they look at me kind of quizzically, and I'm going to go into the story in a minute. But if in your business you ever hear the saying, and if I'm in your business and you say this, I'm going to slap you. Well, that's the way we've always done it. I don't care. As Dr. Robert Kriegel said in his book, If It Ain't Broke, Break It, if you're doing things the same way you've been doing them for the last 3 to 5 years, your competition is running circles around you. If you start and stop new policies and procedures, but you always kind of go back to the old way, you're not helping yourself. You're not growing. Processes have to change, if not every year, almost every 6 months to keep up with your new sales demands and things like that. You have to be able to step away from your comfort zone. And so many times, so many people in business just don't want to do that. They just like things the way they are. Don't bother me. Everything's good. We're paying our bills. But it's not enabling growth. And then you have to take the mindset of leaving where you are for where you want to be. So when I talk about burning the boats, the story goes back to 1519. And it goes like this. It's called Burn the Ship, and it was born from an idea that originated, again, back in 1519. And that year, Hernan Cortes set sail to Veracruz, Mexico, with his crew. And upon arrival, Cortes's men became weary and scared, with hopes of being able to turn back to their old life. Now, as legend has it, Cortes had the men burn their ships, leaving no option but to press on. Their ability to retreat to their previous way of life was gone. Their safety net had been removed. There was just a pile of ashes burning in the bottom of the harbor. The burning of those ships represented much more than a separation from old ways. The same fire that set the ships ablaze also allowed Cortez's men to complete their mission and be a part of something greater than themselves. Now, burning our ships means that there is no turning back to old habits and ways. In this world, we wrestle with all kinds of different physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual battles. To allow great change in our lives, we must find the root of those struggles, our own ships that can be so tempting to sail back on, and burn them. So I'm going to ask you very clearly, and I always ask people the same thing, you know, a couple of questions each week during the show. The first, if you looked at the quote, the business quote of the week from Ayn Rand, the question isn't who is going to let me, it's who's going to stop me. Who is holding you back? Who's not letting you do something that's making you stagnate and stay put where you're at? And secondly, do you have any boats that you need to burn? Now, when I go into a business and I consult with them, I'm trying to improve processes and make sure that people are working at the most efficient level possible. If they can't, then we have to burn the boats. And a perfect example of that is I was consulting with a lumberyard years ago. They hadn't had a computer system. This was about 20 years ago. And they didn't have a computer system. They had no idea what their inventory was. Everything was written out on three-part NCR forms, one for the lumberyard, one for purchasing, things like that. It was mind-boggling how this business had stayed in business as long as it did. So we brought in a computer system. And the guy who was in charge of purchasing said, don't even give me a computer. Don't put it on my desk because I'm not using it. He was just afraid of the technology. And I said, son, if you don't use this computer and you don't purchase through this, nothing's going to happen. So I gave it a week. He didn't type up one purchase order, but we had all those NCR forms. So I went into his office one day. I got in early, and I took every NCR purchase order form out of his office, and I hid them in my office. And when he came in, he was looking for the purchase order forms, and he started screaming, like, where's my forms? Where's my forms? And I went in, and I said, if you're going to do this, and you're going to work here, it's got to be done on that computer. Called me a few names, of which you can't repeat on the air, and threw me out of his office. Slammed the door. And for the next hour, all you heard was screaming and cussing and things breaking. He was throwing coffee mugs across the room. He was so pissed off at me. And then there was nothing but quiet. We thought he was dead. But we let him have his time. About an hour later, he comes out. He hands me a piece of paper. Here, he says. I said, what's that? And he goes, it's my first purchase order. And I looked at it, and it was filled out. The quantity was right. The description was right. The item number was right. The price was right. The vendor was correct. It said when the material would be shipped. It was perfect. And he continued to work on the purchase orders. He basically self, even though I had done a seminar to teach everybody, he wasn't really paying attention, so he kind of had to teach himself. About a month later, I walked into his office, and I had the stack of the original NCR forms, the carbons, and I said, hey, do you want these back? And he goes, get those things out of here. I'm not using it. I had made his life so easy. His job was basically over at midday, and he was able to concentrate on other things, work with new vendors. But it helped to show that sometimes burning the boats can bring you to a better place. So again, if there's something in your business that needs to change, whatever your employees or you will fall back on to get into that comfort zone, get rid of it, because it's not going to help you and it's not going to help you grow, and you need to get rid of it today. Now I want to talk about how the Lion King can find your business identity. Listen in.
Simba, you are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are.
So that line from Mufasa, Simba's father, remember who you are, it still resonates strongly with anybody who runs a small business, as it should. Now, a lot of us don't have a Mufasa as a mentor. Hopefully, you have someone that you can call. But we're living in a time when The Lion King, Toy Story, and Aladdin are all back in theaters, a feat that's forcing us to ask ourselves whether or not it's 2019 or the 1990s. And to be honest, sometimes it's hard to tell. But there's a reason that we continue to gravitate to these nostalgic classics that were made for our kids. They teach all of us important things. And for adults, these kinds of movies remind us of a more important things in life that grown-ups have a tendency to forget. The Lion King has always been one of my favorite movies. And I love the lessons that this movie can teach us, and they apply to so many aspects of our lives and our businesses. The Lion King takes us on a journey of self-discovery as Simba tries to figure out who he is while trying to live up to his father's legacy. That's a lot for anybody, lion or person, to deal with. But as a small business owner, you can also find yourself on a similar journey to self-discovery as you establish your business's identity. So here's a few lessons courtesy of The Lion King that you can incorporate into your business strategy, whether you're on the savanna or in an office park. First, remember who you are. Now, while we may feel we need a supernatural weather event where a role model reminds us who we are and why we started our business in the first place, it most likely doesn't happen very often. Mufasa reminded Simba who he really was. And I think that's something we can all think about in regards to our business and professions in general. There's a reason we got involved in what we're doing now. It may have been because we're passionate, or it may have just been the direction life took us. But either way, remember why you got into what you're doing. Embrace that passion. Find it again and find a way to keep it alive. Don't let it get to a point where Rafiki needs to come hit you over the head with a stick to remind you. Think about, in The Lion King, Hakuna Matata. It means no worries. So how often do you spend a lot of time and energy worrying about things that aren't really a big deal in the first place? Very rarely is a problem completely insurmountable. Sometimes it's crucial that as a business owner and as a human being in general, we take a step back, we take a deep breath, and we figure out what we really want and what's really important. You might still have a few lingering worries by the time you finish your introspection, but it will help you put things into perspective. Respect the pride lands. Everything the light touches is your kingdom, Simba was told. So consider your business as your kingdom. You likely have the same pride, protective instincts as Mufasa over the African savannah. There will likely always be competition, like Scar, who want to take it away from you. Protect it, defend it, avoid shadowy practices, and you'll be just fine. Don't let your competition, your scars, defeat you. Don't wait to be king because you already are one. As a business owner, you are the king of your castle. Now, don't keep waiting for something to happen before you feel any real ownership over your business. Mufasa understood that he sometimes had to make difficult choices because he recognized his day-to-day responsibilities. Simba couldn't wait for that mantle so he could abuse the power a little. You don't have that luxury as a business owner. Sometimes it can be daunting to be the ultimate decision maker in all things, but a wise king always knows his role. To best establish your business and brand identity, you need to understand your vision of where you want to take your kingdom and constantly work towards it. You have to be prepared. This song, even though it's sung by the villain, always speaks to me. The final lines are, "My teeth and ambitions are bared, so be prepared." How awesome is that? It's something we can all learn in our daily pursuits. As a business owner, you've already shown your ambition. You have to be ambitious in order to make a business succeed. Even if you don't like Scar's dream, he still has one and is fighting both tooth and nail for it. Can you say the same about your business? As you discover your business identity and begin to move forward, keep that same ambition, that same drive that led you to create your business in the first place. And then, of course, there's the circle of life. In every business journey, there's going to be some ups and downs. There will be some periods of growth and a few periods of stagnation where you're not sure how to keep it going. It's the nature of being a small business owner, but remember that almost everyone else is on the same journey, trying to maintain customers, attract new ones, be innovative and industrious, all while keeping their sanity. That is the real circle of life, and you can do it. And remember, folks, as Mufasa told him, remember who you are, and don't stray from that. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, I'm going to have the four must-know habits of all highly effective people. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's being called the largest one-day, one-state immigration raid in the history of the United States. ICE officials taking hundreds of undocumented immigrants into custody in the Jackson, Mississippi area yesterday. U.S. Attorney Mike Hurst is with the Southern District of Mississippi.
Strong interior enforcement is essential to enter any border security strategy. You cannot have one without the other.
At least 680 illegal immigrants taken into custody. Amnesty International is out with travel warnings concerning the United States, the organization telling people around the world to use extreme caution when traveling in America because of what it calls rampant gun violence. It says it's so prevalent in the U.S. that it amounts to a human rights crisis. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
And I've been taking care of business every day.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you every Thursday at this time. And did take a week off last week. I apologize for that, but got a chance to visit some great friends down in Florida and had a great time down there. Time to cool off, relax, and enjoy life just a little bit. So before the break, I talked about the four must-know habits of all highly effective people. And as I prepare for this show every week, I probably read close to 100 to 130 articles every week and try to bring you the best topics and material that I can. It's not all coming out of this little noggin. So one of the people that I follow, in addition to Larry Wingate, Marcus Lemonis, Tony Robbins, Dean Grazioso, is a guy named Brian Tracy, who's the chairman and CEO of Brian Tracy International. And this is a company that specializes in training and motivation of individuals and businesses. And he says that in both your personal and professional life, becoming a success is something that starts from within. The whole secret of personal success is to find out what your calling is and then do it. One great question for your individual success: what are the habits of successful people? Why is it that some people have positive thinking patterns while others do not? And I want you to stop there for a second and think about your patterns. Glass half full, half empty, sun is shining, clouds are out. How do you approach every day? Are you a positive person? Are you a negative person? Randy Pausch, in his memoir, wrote, and he used to ask his students the same question, are you an Eeyore or a Tigger? So which character in the Winnie the Pooh franchise do you most identify with? 100% Tigger, sitting right here, okay? But if you're that person that has that cloud over their head, and I know several people like that, in fact, I'm married to one, how do you go through it, and how do you feel most of the time? Is it always a sense of dread? Is it always doom and gloom? Or are you like Tigger and just bouncing off your tail, you know, going from one thing to the next? So it's very important that you identify your personality and what that is. So some people have the positive thinking patterns, others don't. So what determines your self-concept for success? Now, again, many successful people have been interviewed over the years and asked the question, what do you think about most of the time? Their answers are very simple and consistent, and yet so profound that they can be life-changing. In short, the habits of successful people revolve around positive thinking. They think about what they want and how to get it. Successful people have all concluded, one way or the other, that the way your self-concept and mind is programmed in you from an early childhood. Your self-concept plays a decisive role in almost everything you think, feel, and accomplish as an adult. By learning these four habits of successful people, you too can become a successful person. So the first habit is that they all have a great self-concept. Now, your self-concept is the master program of your subconscious computer. It acts as your mental operating system. Every thought, feeling, emotion, experience, and decision that you have ever had is permanently recorded in your mental hard drive. Once recorded, these impressions then influence the way you think, feel, and behave from that point forward. Your self-concept precedes and predicts your levels of effectiveness in every aspect of your life. And your self-concept explains why mental laws have such an inordinate effect on your personality. They are consistent is the second habit of highly effective people. Once you form self-concept in a particular area, you must always act in a manner that's consistent with it. And I'm going to tell you that I have seen it happen where you can take a negative person and change them into a positive person. If you don't think it can happen, you're just going to rewire your brain a little bit. Instead of thinking the glass is half full, think of it as half empty, or vice versa. Instead of thinking half empty, think half full, that the sun is shining, that it's a beautiful day. Forget about the worries of the world and focus on yourself and that mental happy state or that positive concept. So again, once you form self-concept in a particular area, you must always act in a manner that's consistent with it. You may have extraordinary ability in a particular area, but if your self-concept is poor, then you will always perform below your true potential. The habits of successful people are to have positive thinking and positive self-concepts in all areas of their life. You have a self-concept for how well you speak in public, how popular you are, what kind of a spouse or partner you are, what kind of a parent you are, how well you perform in each sport or physical activity, how organized or disorganized you are, how well you manage your time and how productive you are, your ability to read, write, and do mathematics. There, with those topics, you should be able to grade yourself good, bad, needs work, doesn't. In your business and career, you have a self-concept for every aspect of your financial life. Through positive thinking, you can have a self-concept for how much you earn and how hard you have to work to earn that amount of money. Sounds simple on paper, but it's just as simple in real life. Think and Grow Rich, Success Through a Positive Attitude. There's a lot of great books written that all talk about positive approaches and positive mental attitudes. And these people, third step, step out of their comfort zone. Whether your self-concept, your habit of thinking with regard to money or any other area of performance, that's going to become your comfort zone. And your comfort zone then becomes your greatest single obstacle to improve performance. Once you get into a comfort zone in any area, you will strive and struggle unconsciously to remain there, even though it may be vastly below what you are truly capable of achieving in that area. The key to achieving your full potential and develop the same habits of successful people is for you to raise your self-concept through positive thinking patterns. It is for you to develop new habits of positive thinking about what is possible for you. The way that you accomplish vastly more on the outside is by changing your thoughts and feelings about your potential in that area on the inside. A lot of times you'll hear people say that they have their dream board, and it may have a picture of a Mercedes or a beautiful home or something like that. Whatever you desire, that's what you should be working towards. All your energy is focused towards that. Not saying I'll never own the Mercedes, I'll never own that nice home. It's about what do I have to do to get that Mercedes? Go to the dealership, get a brochure on that thing, find out how much it's going to cost, what will the monthly payments be, how much would the insurance be, and then work towards that end. So if you say, well, I currently make $80,000 a year. Of that and in your budget, would you be able to buy that Mercedes today? If not, what more do you need to get there and then get there? And finally, with the four habits of highly effective people, they're positive thinkers. Now, your self-concept is your self-ideal. This is the ideal image or picture you have of yourself as if you were already the very best person that you could be. Your self-ideal and self-concept are made up of your wishes, hopes, dreams, goals, and fantasies about your perfect future life, combined with the qualities and virtues that you admire most in yourself and in other people. Your self-ideal and self-concept is a composite through positive thinking of the very best person you could imagine yourself being, living the very, very best life that you could possibly live. High-performing, successful, happy people have very clear self-ideals. They have very clear ideas of what they like, respect, and admire. They have clear ideals about the virtues, values, and attributes of the superior men and women that they want to emulate. The most successful people have an uplifting, inspiring vision of what a truly excellent person looks like and how he or she behaves within their self-concept. You are a remarkable person, possessed of incredible untapped potentials and abilities. Whatever you have accomplished in life so far is only a shadow of what is truly possible for you. There are virtually no limits on what you can do, be, and have, except for the limits that you impose on yourself with your own thinking. But by following these four steps and by taking complete control of the development of your self-concept through positive thinking, you lay the foundation for the development that will enable you to accomplish more in the next few years than the average person would accomplish in a lifetime. I'm going to give you an example here. And you've probably seen people like this. If you're on Facebook or any social media platform, and I always call Facebook the A side of the 45 RPM record. And if you think back to 45s when they were in the record stores, you'd go out and you'd spend 99 cents and you'd buy a song like Taking Care of Business by Bachman Turner Overdrive. That was called the A side. The B side was a song you never heard of and you never played. It never saw the light of day on your turntable. And so for basically 99 cents, while they told you you were getting two songs, you really were only getting one. So Facebook is your A side. But have you ever seen anybody on Facebook that is always complaining about their lot in life? Oh, the car got a flat tire. Oh, I don't have money to pay this. Oh, I have that. Oh, I have that. I don't have this. I don't have that. And then you'll see the other person showing you a picture from their boat, at their shore house, on a great vacation, things like that. What's the difference? Why the two differences? One person chooses to be happy. One person chooses to be successful. The other person chooses to be negative, chooses to be miserable. They love to wallow in the self-pity. I want them to stop that now. Change your lot in life. Don't worry about what's wrong. So the tire blew out. No big deal. Nobody was hurt. Get a new tire. Okay? You can't pay a certain bill? Get a second job. You know, find a side hustle that will pay you additional money. I can still remember years ago I got sick, almost bankrupted my wife and I as a result of the cost, the medical costs. And I remember that the mortgage was due. It was about $1,100 on our condo, and I had about $11.64 in the bank. Now, I could have just simply said, hey, we're going to declare bankruptcy. I didn't. What did I do? I bought a station wagon for $300. I bought a couple of ladders for a couple hundred dollars, and I opened up a painting business. I would work my we had flex time, so 7-to-3 job, get changed into my painting pants, and then I would drive out and start painting houses from 3:30 in the afternoon until about 8 o'clock at night. And I made a ton of money as a result, and I was able to pay my mortgage. My wife and I were able to put a little money away for savings. We were able to pay down debt, but that's what I had to do. Being in radio, I knew I could be a freelance announcer, so I did that. I started announcing high school football and basketball games. Anywhere that somebody had a microphone and needed somebody to talk and would pay me to do it, I did it. So I've had 3 or 4 side hustles going on my whole life, and I've never complained about money, and I've never declared bankruptcy, and I've always had a positive mental attitude. But it's the people that won't get out of their own way, that maintain that negative attitude, it's because they want to. Change your attitude, change your life. 4 habits of highly effective people. You're listening to Taking Care of Business on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for the last break of the day. We come back, we've got more. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Hey, This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano. I'm the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington and the host of this program, Taking Care of Business, every Thursday at noon. And glad to be a part of Huntington Chamber Radio from the beginning, coming up on, I believe, 8 years of broadcasting this October. So looking forward to celebrating that with the Chamber and with you. So thanks for tuning in. Let's talk about content marketing and how you can use your content in multiple purposes. Now, remember I told you a couple shows ago that when you create some content, it's okay to share it across multiple platforms. Put a post on Facebook. If it's small enough, put it on Twitter. Put it on Instagram. Put it on LinkedIn. Whatever social media platform you choose. But using your content for multiple purposes brings up a different topic. So creating new and engaging content is a crucial aspect of small business content marketing. However, you may think that once a piece of content is created and published, that it can't be used again. But not so fast. Just because you've created content in the past doesn't mean it can't be useful down the road. Minimal effort to adjust content and publish it in new ways will help you get the most value out of it. You can reuse your content to reach new customers and make the most out of your efforts. So here are some tips on how to effectively repurpose your content for your small business. Take existing information and create an infographic. Now, you may have already put out a published article that says 70% of all people don't use their blinker on the highway. Now, that's okay. Now make an infographic out of that, maybe with a car with no blinker and, you know, 30% of the cars using their blinkers. So visually appealing content is highly likely to generate attention for your business. And chances are you have some helpful tips, professional insights, or intriguing bits of data that your followers and potential customers may enjoy. And you can develop an infographic to post on your website, blog, or social media accounts. You want to post statistics to Twitter. And let's say you have some interesting stats, data points, or facts about your industry. One easy method for getting leverage from these pieces of information is by turning them into tweets. Putting compelling facts in a bite-sized tweet makes them more shareable and more likely to reach a wider base of potential customers. So consider putting the stats into a Twitter-friendly image for the best performance. You want to use visual content for your Pinterest board. If you don't have a Pinterest for your business already, it's time to get started. It's just one useful platform to engage with loyal followers and prospective customers alike. You likely have social media content or blog posts full of images. Why not make the most of these photos by republishing them on Pinterest? These pins can easily increase traffic to your website. Combine your best blogs into sort of a roundup post. Now, readers love listicles. Creating a best-of list of blogs will help new and busy readers to get a look at your content that you've done in the past. You can create roundups to highlight the most popular pieces of your own favorites. You can republish content on different platforms. A super simple way to give your social media platforms a boost is simply reusing posts that perform well. This is similar to cross-posting, one link across multiple networks. Not everyone who follows you on Instagram will also follow you on Facebook. When republishing content, try to adjust the title, the wording, or the tone depending on your different audience. And you want to turn your blog posts into a newsletter. Now, when you work hard on new content for your blog, you want to maximize what you get for your effort. You can write a series of blog posts about particular tips, instructions, or themes. This gives people a good reason to subscribe to your email campaign. And cut your videos into shorter videos or GIFs. Longer videos are generally great for your YouTube channel and website, but many other sites such as Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter favor shorter videos and GIFs. You can trim down your videos to have an attentive grabbing appeal on other platforms. So just a couple of tips. When you talk about content, there's one post I share every year, and nobody ever complains about it, but there's a great video. I think the Wall Street Journal created it years ago on how the Super Bowl trophy is made. I own a trophy shop. So in my newsletter every year, just about the weekend before the Super Bowl, I will post that video and the story of how it's made. And it takes about 4 months to make a Super Bowl trophy. So now people can see what they'll be looking at on Sunday and how it was made for the 4 months prior over at Tiffany's. So it's not a bad way to share specific information that people may find interesting. Now it's time to talk about Google reviews and why they matter for your business. Now, as a business owner, you likely enjoy knowing that people enjoy your products and services. That being said, you may not respond to the reviews you receive, or you may not encourage your customers to leave you a quick review breaking down what they like most about your brand. Reviews can be one of the most important elements to building your brand and bringing in more customers. Reviews do matter. One reason potential customers need to have a solid idea of the type of customer experience you offer is that reviews can boost your online visibility in regard to search engine ranking. More than ever today, customers want to save time and money. Knowing your business's reputation can let them know whether they should check out your site and everything on it or keep scrolling to one of your competitors. Also consider that while you may have the best marketing and advertising materials, consumers will trust the words of people who have done business with you already. After all, customers have no stake in your business, which means they're more likely to be 100% honest. Even if a review doesn't turn a customer into a consumer into a customer, a single review could be the thing that makes someone go to your site to get a better feel for you and your value. Let your customers help you. Now that you have a better idea about the overall importance of reviews, how do you make it easy for your customers to leave a few kind words for all to see on your Google My Business page? First, recognize the fact that consumers and customers like doing a minimum of work. That means giving them clear and concise instructions on how and where to leave a review and any specific information you'd like them to leave. Because consumers can use so many different review sites, let customers know which review platforms you prefer. Some may work better for you or your industry than others. When people check out in at your brick-and-mortar store, ask if they'd be willing to leave a positive review. For online transactions, see if shoppers wouldn't mind writing a few kind words about their online shopping experience before they close the transaction window. And you have to prepare yourself for negative reviews. No matter what lengths you go to create great care for your customers, you can't please everyone. Some people don't need any prompting whatsoever to leave you a downright nasty review. And they're often all too willing to spread that review on social media. When this happens, respond to the review. Reach out to the individual, see if there's anything you could have done or can do to turn the situation around and explain something that may not have been clear to the person, which may have triggered a miscommunication that led to the bad review. You need to take control of the situation. Do not ignore negative reviews. It's also good practice to respond to all reviews that come in for your business. This demonstrates to customers and potential customers that you're listening to the feedback and constantly strive to stay on top of the feedback you receive. It leaves a good impression with customers to know that you're listening. Google reviews can open the door to new business, so be sure you're always keyed into what people are saying about you, good or bad. In sports, in Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Twins, and Astros lead their division in the American League, while the Braves, Cubs, and Dodgers lead their division in the National League. In NASCAR news, Chase Elliott won last week's Go Bowling at the Glen in Watkins Glen, New York, and that means the siren was blowing in the pool hall in Dawsonville, Georgia. That was his second win of the season. This week, the teams travel to the Irish Hills of Michigan for the Consumers Energy 400 at Michigan International Speedway at 3 p.m. on the NBC Sports Network. In NFL news, teams are reported for preseason workouts and training camp. The first games are tonight, and first cuts should be reported soon. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. And for more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimganeau.com. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Four people died in a stabbing rampage in two Southern California cities. A 33-year-old man is in custody.
There was at least three different robberies that happened where cash was taken. Four people needlessly lost their lives from this savage suspect.
Garden Grove Police Lieutenant Carl Whitney.
Our suspect pulled in his vehicle and confronted our victim and attacked him. For no apparent reason. There was no robbery or whatever. He just attacked the guy pumping gas.
On the heels of the Dayton massacre, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine is calling for stepped-up background checks for gun buyers. Today, he's talking about new proposals to deal with children's mental health issues.
But we are seeing in Ohio a significant increase among our young people of anxiety, depression, and suicide.
This is USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
President Trump says he's very strongly considering commuting the sentence of former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich.
I thought he was treated unbelievably unfairly. He was given close to 18 years in prison, and a lot of people thought it was unfair, like a lot of other things.
Blagojevich started serving his sentence in 2012 in multiple federal corruption convictions. It was connected to the appointment to the successor to Barack Obama in the Senate from Illinois after Obama was elected president. Canadian authorities believe they found the bodies of two teenage murder suspects that are linked to three deaths in remote British Columbia. Royal Canadian Mounted Police Assistant Commissioner Jane McClatchy.
At this time, we believe these are the bodies of the two suspects wanted in connection with the homicides in British Columbia. An autopsy is being scheduled in Winnipeg to confirm their identities and to determine their cause of death.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Some fitness companies are hoping to avoid a big boycott. USA's Chris Barnes has more.
Fitness brands SoulCycle and Equinox trying to distance themselves from Stephen Ross, the chair of a company that owns both of them. That's because of a planned re-election fundraiser that Ross is holding for President Trump tomorrow. The news of the fundraiser drawing calls for a boycott of those brands, including by celebrity customers from Chrissy Teigen to Billy Eichner, the two companies issuing a joint statement saying they in no way endorse the fundraiser, calling Ross a passive investor who's not involved in the management of either of those brands.
Florida's Space Coast shook with an early morning liftoff as the U.S. Air Force launched their fifth satellite in a new communications network. The Atlas V rocket by United Launch Alliance blasted off from Launch Complex 41 at Cape Canaveral. Lockheed Martin has been building the new satellite communications network for the military, called Advanced Extremely High Frequency. Lockheed Martin has been building the new satellite communications network for the military. The Air Force says the network provides secure and jam-resistant communications for ground, sea, and air units of the military. It also provides communications to Canada, Britain, the Netherlands, and Australia. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design.